Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Derby tomorrow. Which horses do you like? Maybe some you don't like. We've gotten some good insight in the last 48 hours or so from Sean Zarillo of the Action Network. If you missed Eddie Olczyk the other day, by all means, go download that segment as well, wherever you get your podcasts. Search BetQL Daily. Of course, we're here live every single day, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetQL Network. And you can watch as well on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL. YouTube, just search Odyssey Sports. And inside your Odyssey app as well, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today and take us with you wherever you're going, whatever you're up to. Yes, Derby to get into. NBA playoff game sixes tonight. Can the Cavs close out the Magic on the road where they played so horribly in games 3 and 4? Can the Mavs close out the Clippers at home? A game one tomorrow between Minnesota and Denver, and a game one Monday now between the Knicks and the Pacers, plus a post-draft pre-schedule look at the NFC West in a few moments as well. It is Hawks' last day, Aaron Hawksworth's final day here on BetQL Daily. Oh, no. And there was slow the waterworks down, Hawk. There's somebody that we couldn't let your last day pass without you getting a chance to talk to. The coach from Monumental Sports Network, Jimmy Patsos, is on the line. Jimmy, good morning.
Aaron Hawksworth, I'm going to come out to the West Coast and find you.
I'm slightly
devastated you're leaving. Slightly devastated.
Oh my gosh, this is such a surprise. I'm such a baby. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited you joined the show. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
What are you kidding me? Honored to be on here. Always loved your energy. But Chris and Joe, they'll continue to fight, but we're going to miss you. We wish you well. We know we'll see you in brighter and better. And before you even start, Stranglehold, number 18, is my little long shot for the Derby, and I like Just Cause, number 11, Forever Young. Because you,
oh my gosh,
friend,
I love
Hawksworth,
it.
Well, you're forever young. We'll always be forever young. So Forever Young from Japan comes over. It might be the first foreign horse to win the Derby.
Yes.
Man, I love that look. I liked Forever Young yesterday, and now you've convinced me that is the play. So we're off Door Knock, right? Because a lot of people are like him, but because of his posts, maybe not so much.
Now the early posts, plus I've been there twice. It's unbelievable, the energy, but even the horses feel the pressure. You don't know which horse is just going to run normal and get around the first two turns, and then it can be a race, but it's the best 2 minutes in sports, first Saturday in May. I've been twice in person. It's unbelievable. Get in line quick. Just stay in line because those betting lines can be long. Just bet every race, as many races as you can at one time, and then go enjoy the day. But, yeah, I think it's a wide-open race, and it's exciting that it's here, and that means it's NBA playoff time too. But, Aaron, you've just been amazing. You've been fantastic, and I really do wish you the best, you and the youngster.
Oh, thank you so much, Jimmy. That means so much. We got to get your NBA playoff assessment here. I mean, what did you think of the games last night? The Knicks, man, what's the ceiling for them?
Thibodeau can coach. They're a feisty bunch. If they had Julius Randle, they could win the whole thing. But they don't have Julius Randle. And is that going to rear its ugly head? Look, I had him twice. I covered him in Washington when he had 50 and was making jumpers from all over the place. But he's more of a power mid-range guy, but they don't have him. Hartenstein's done a good job. I mean, they leave Hart open. Doc Rivers gambles a little bit. I know Brunson was on fire, so try to get – but nobody even flew at Josh Hart at the end. He just gets a wide-open threes. They played really tough. But I'm going with the Pacers, and the next – I still don't know what Buddy Hield is doing with 3 seconds left, taking a shot like a shot you would take in a horse. But, Doc, you know, the ghost of Philadelphia, it's a waste Embiid. It just is what it is, you know, to let Jimmy Butler walk out of that locker room when they did 5 years ago. And then Jimmy Butler, you know, speaks for himself what he's done just competitive-wise. But he's a really talented guy. But it's be interesting to see what the Sixers do because they just, you know, not casting aspersions, but Tobias Harris is your second highest state player. He's just barely out there at the end. Batum, 16-year career, all that. So it's Maxey and Embiid, and Embiid's such an unbelievable player. But if they can't capitalize on it, because the Knicks are down, a couple guys, and Bogdanovic is a big loss for the Knicks. I just think Tibbs and what Jalen Brunson's like the most improved. And I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was that good. Getting hard to play the four, and even Genzo, Miles McBride from West Virginia. I give him so much credit. But I think Carlisle, with his pedigree and the way the Pacers are playing, and they got a lot of depth and Obi Toppin's return and all that stuff, but really they got a nice team. You know, T.J. McConnell could do a little stuff, but it comes down to Halliburton and those guys in their home court. I think like last year, the Knicks do really well, but bow out in the second round again. And the Pacers go to the finals of the conference.
Okay. Knicks big favorites already for the series, -275 against Indiana. You like the dog. What about the other one in the Eastern Conference? Boston is just hanging around and waiting. Do you think Orlando pushes this to 7 games tonight?
If Paolo Banchero continues, you know, what a great freshman rookie year he had, I should say. He had one freshman year. Dude, by the way, he's the guy that cut Krzyzewski to his last Final Four in New Orleans and kind of willed him there. Can Banchero continue to will this team? They only lost by one. Look, Cleveland's got the better team. Cleveland is older. Cleveland's their time. We'll see. It's never just your time. I want to see Cleveland-Boston because I think Cleveland, with Mobley and Allen, the one albatross the Celtics have is inside play already, and then no Porzingis for a couple games. It's going to make it interesting. However, the Celtics makes threes, you can't beat them. And the Celtics have a little bit of depth in Hauser and Pritchard, Al Horford off the bench. But it's their starting five, and they can score the ball, and they can shoot threes. If they don't, I mean, that was a wounded Miami team that willed themselves to win. I mean, without Jimmy Butler and what they did just to get there, that was a great matchup. The Celtics acting like they exercised their demons. That was half a team. Matt Strus, who was on their team last year and helped them, see, he's on Cleveland now, and he's a big guard. I like big guards sometimes in the playoffs, so that's one of my things back to the Knicks. They're overwhelming favorites because they think, you know, they're tough and it's New York and everybody wants them. But the Pacers have a lot of depth of Pacers with Halliburton. They've got some size in there. You know, they just have a little bit of a look for me defensively that can match up. But can the Cavs match up defensively with the Celtics? Absolutely. The Celtics are going to try to run away with it by shooting threes. But I'll be interested to see if the Magic can bring it back as a young team. But Paolo Banchero, you wait. He, in another one more year, he's going to be like Brunson. He's going to be like an everyday talk-about player because he's really doing well for the Magic. But the Cavs, I have them winning, and then I think that, you know, the Celtics and the Knicks is what everybody wants. But I'm going to throw a wrench in it and say it's the Celtics and the Pacers.
Jimmy, what about on the other side tonight down in Dallas? Mavs are going to try and close out the Clippers. It's 7.5 this morning. The spread seems big for a series that has gone back and forth, has zigzagged the way it has, but the Clippers without Kawhi, even though they've looked better at times without Kawhi, didn't get much from Harden last time out. And Luka dealing with this knee that seems to be making him a little gimpy, but he had his best game of the series with that gimpy knee.
I mean, a guy who's over 30 just walking on the court in the playoffs, and he's got like 20, 35 point games. I just, you know, I got to give – I'm not a used Kyrie Irving guy, but I got to give him credit. We had Odell Beckham this year in Baltimore for the Ravens. I know everybody watches the NFL, and he didn't have that many catches, but he was really good in the locker room, and he was good to be around, and he kept a lower profile, and I thought he really helped the Ravens secure the number one seed. Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs, but everybody loses to the Chiefs. They won 4 Super Bowls over 5 years, whatever, 3 in 5 years for a reason. I will tell you this. Kyrie Irving has a little Beckham where it's kind of like – no more worried about pink shoes or distractions or when's my birthday party. He's just gone about his business pretty much this year. And I, sorry, Beckham went about his business. And you know what? Kyrie's gone about his business and then quietly had a good year. They picked up Daniel Gafford from the Wizards. Kyrie's passing the ball, you know, because he's super talented, having won one already. You know, I think Kyrie's found a home down there. Like, look, the drama in Phoenix, what went on with Ben Simmons and him and Harden and everybody, all those people in the Nets, crazy organization. He's just settled in. I think they win tonight. I think they actually win by a lot. I have a feeling Harden's taking that little swoon that he always does this time of year. I loved Harden. I love watching him play. He said major games, 50-pointers and all that stuff. It just seems like something goes wrong in the playoffs, and it's kind of multiplied itself as the years have gone by. I know he didn't have any big men in Houston, but the Clippers were really, really good in January and February, but there goes the fade again, whether Kawhi can play. I just think the Dallas team's better than you think. You know, I like Green, and I know Josh Green. I've known him. He's just really a good player. Derek Jones, not just his dunk. He's a good player. Gafford does. And then there's Luka, who's special, and Kyrie, who's a, you know, unbelievable talent and a really good player that seems to have found his way. I think they cruise, and then it's going to be really interesting. Can they win the next round? Who knows? OKC is pretty good. Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they're deep. The Minnesota Denver, I'll tell you this, everyone. Last year, the people that I knew in Denver, I knew some people out there, said Minnesota played them the best. Of all the series they had last year, Minnesota played them the best. So there could be an upset pick, even though Denver's great. How's their bench? So I'm going to go out west and say, can Denver pull it out? Of course they can. They're the defending champs, but I kind of like Minnesota. I want the youngsters out west. I want an OKC versus the Thunder in the conference finals, and then them play either the Celtics or the Pacers. But I'm going to go Celtics play a young team, and that might be what they need to get over the hump. What I do like out there is, if by chance Kyrie and Luka, who are the two best, that's the best backcourt, if they could win, if they could like get by OKC, I don't know if they can, but it's kind of young versus old. All of a sudden, Luka, you know, who willed them to the finals, the conference finals, and Kyrie, who has a lot of experience and all of a sudden has grown up. But that, like, it wouldn't surprise me if it would not shock me at all if it's a Dallas Boston final, because those young teams are going to feel the pressure because you got a lot of young teams out west.
All right, I can't let you go without asking you about the Lakers. What is going to happen? I mean, I even saw a rumor Ty Lue could be the next head coach. Like, what the whole LeBron, what's going to happen with him? He doesn't want to talk about his future. What do you think ends up happening with the Lakers?
You know, I think LeBron's going to look back, and obviously everybody's going to switch teams once. It's like college. I'm down with it. But I don't like if they switch teams more than twice, you know? In other words, has Donovan Mitchell found a home? Sure. Has Jalen Brunson found a home? Sure. That's okay. I don't know if LeBron's going to look back and say, I should have stayed at Cleveland. They won one with him. Free agents were going to go there. It's an easier place to live. L.A. is not for everybody. I hope Bronny goes back to college and plays for Bill. I think Eric Musselman really makes guys better. I think Andy Enfield was a good coach, but Eric Musselman may be what Bronny needs. Stay at USC. They got some transfers. This kid Pope, who can really score from San Diego. Bronny, stay there. What LeBron does figuring out his situation, the guy's in such good shape. I mean, he's a top five player forever. I don't think Jordan's one, Kareem's two. I like Magic at the point. Bird is a power forward. Dr. J, there's some other people up there. LeBron is obviously a top player, but he's not Kareem and he's not Michael Jordan, in my opinion, because they could still carry their teams at an older age. He's struggling to do that. They have Anthony Davis. They had a pretty good team. They weren't even close. It wasn't even close. He needs help. Can you get him help? L.A. is not the easiest place to live. You know, L.A. is not every pro wants to go there. There's a lot of other distractions out there. I didn't think Darvin Ham did that bad a job, but I've been reading, and everybody seems to be like it was Darvin Ham's fault. Really? Ask Frank Vogel that. You know, I don't know if it was Darvin Ham's fault. Tyronn Lue just, is that going to be the answer? I don't. Look, they need another player. You know, Reeves is good. They won't play Max Christie. I don't know why Rob Pelinka won't play that guy. His brother's going to be in the draft. Rob Pelinka took Christie early in the second round. Everyone thought he'd be this guy. But they're not playing him. You know, they're not playing the young guys like OKC did, or the way that the Timberwolves developed Anthony Edwards and all that stuff. They need a young Superman or Batman or whatever to learn from LeBron. They don't seem to have it. Where he goes, who knows? Maybe he comes to Philly and helps Embiid. I don't know. The Warriors up the street have their issues. Curry's great, but everyone else is aging out. What do these guys do down the stretch? You know, I always thought maybe Curry would come to New York for a year or two. Does LeBron want to come to New York? He can play the minutes because you have to with Tibbs, but he's an unbelievably strong talent who's got a lot of titles for a reason, and he's a first-team All-NBA for history for a reason. But he needs a little help down the stretch here. You know, Durant and those guys found out they needed help. But, you know, it's as we've always said, including in our broadcasting business, it's a young person's game. That's why Aaron is forever young and will always be a star.
Look at that. Brings it full circle at the end.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. I'm going to miss you. We got to stay in touch. I have your number, so we'll finally get together.
Give me your number. I'll send you a bunch of new Under Armour stuff for us. You're an influencer. Thanks so much. It's going to be a great playoff down the stretch. Call me if you guys need me. And remember, number 18 and 21 stranglehold. That's my long shot to win it. Goodbye.
Love it. Thank you, Jimmy. At Coach Patsos on Twitter from Monumental Sports, Jimmy Patsos. Checking in. Forever young, he says, the Japanese horse, the 11, running from the 10 post in the Derby tomorrow. And he's got one of those two. He's got those both young teams meeting in the Western Conference Finals, Minnesota and OKC. He's got Indiana upsetting the Knicks. He's got a million things we could talk about going forward. We'll get into the NBA playoffs at the top of the hour. That post-draft pre-schedule release reset of the NFC West in 25 minutes as well. On Aaron Hawksworth's final day, we get some Kentucky Derby plays. We put a bow on that before we get through this second hour here. We do that next, right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. All right, where are we going with these Derby plays? It's tomorrow. BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. Lightning bets before we wrap up in about an hour and 25 minutes or so. We'll play nickel or dime with some different ideas we've thought up to commemorate the occasion of Aaron Hawksworth's final show with the BetQL Network. NBA playoffs game sixes tonight. We've got Cleveland trying to close out the magic in Orlando, and we've got the Clippers trying to survive and force a game seven back home in L.A. in Dallas. Plus, what do we think of the T-Wolves and Nuggets who get started tomorrow night? Pacers-Knicks are now set. What do we think of that one getting started on Monday night as well? And a post-draft pre-schedule release reset, sort of the NFC West in 20 minutes. We've gone through division by division so far, every division in the NFC. We'll go through the AFC next week, just sort of getting a handle on what every team has done during the offseason and what we think of the division odds, division by division, and each team's future going forward before that schedule release happens in the next week or so. If you missed any of the other divisions we've done so far, I know you're all just salivating at the idea of an NFC South reset, but also the NFC East and the NFC North. Can always download BetQL Daily as a podcast. Get it on demand inside your Odyssey app. So, Joe, we've talked to Sean Zarillo. He had some great insights. Jimmy Patsos is doing the old-fashioned just go with a name, which I love, Forever Young. We had Eddie Olczyk on the other day, giving his insights as well. He's been covering this for years. Where are we thinking? What's your angle right now as we sit a little more than 24 hours out from the Derby on where you'd like to go tomorrow? He's muted again.
Joe.
Again.
Is this in honor of me always being on mute? You had to like steal the bit?
Maybe. No. Yeah, somebody's got to take it over. So
yeah,
that's me.
It'll be Joe.
It'll be me. as far as, let's start with fierceness, have that conversation, because it is obviously tempting. If you look at the top of the board, you have fierceness and then you have Sierra Leone. And it's hard to really knock either horse, especially if fierceness brings the A game. If he brings his best and wants to race, probably no other horse is going to win. But we're also looking for a decent ticket. So if we're doing exotics and we're putting both fierceness and Sierra Leone, it's going to be hard to make money. So with the Derby, with everything wide open, like we talked about yesterday, with 20 horses, the randomness, the luck that you need with the draw, I'm trying to stay away from keeping both in the top of exotics, like tries and supers and all that. So you have to make a decision. That's what betting is. You have to take a stand at some point. You take a stand and you come up with your case, your argument. because we can make a million cases for a bunch of teams, bunch of players for awards every single day on this show. But taking a stand. Now, fierceness. Can we knock fierceness out of the top three is what I'm thinking. I don't think we can. And I just think back to that conversation we had with Eddie O. He's like, I'm looking to beat fierceness to make money, yeah. Which makes perfect sense. That's what bettors are mm-hmm. looking to do. That's what I was doing last year with Mage. Like, yeah, you can go at the very top. You can make that case. There's a reason. Those are the odds. But you do want to hunt for some value a little bit. For those tries, I don't think you can remove fierceness. But I'm not taking fierceness as the winner. Right. My winner is, and I don't know how I feel after hearing Jimmy, but my winner's Forever Young. That's my pick to win the Derby. I am going with one of the two Japanese horses, has not lost a race, 5-0. I don't know about the competition, but the UAE Derby should help in preparation. While with all these other horses, we're looking at these preps races, but I think it's very interesting that at the UAE Derby, you're talking about running 1 3/16. And typically people think, oh, they're going to flame out. The Japanese horses always do. They're usually better on synthetic surfaces. That's starting to change a little bit due to the training that's going on. And they're one of them's going to break through. I didn't expect to be here. And I'm also getting a decent price, 10-1 on the morning line. And it is, quote, you know, what we've heard, the wise guy horse. But that's where I landed, guys. If I'm picking one winner and I am looking for a decent payout, that's where I'm going. And I love the draw in the 10 post, too.
It seems like eventually one of these foreign horses is going to win it. And we've been hearing a right. lot about the Japanese horses. I mean, I remember it being a big topic last year. So mm-hmm. I love that, mostly because Jimmy recommended it for me. You guys know I love me some Botox. Haven't had plastic surgery on my face yet. But Forever Young is very, very on brand for me.
Oh, I love it. Forever Young is also one of, let me see here, 5 horses that fit this qualification. And it's, I think Jenny Reese is her name, who's been writing about and covering horse racing for probably longer than I've been alive, or almost as long as I've been alive. And it's called The Fast Fractions. How do they close in the final furlong or the final 3 furlongs? If they come in under, I believe it's 13 seconds in the final furlong and 38 in the final 3 furlongs, that's going to get you, I believe it's 30 of the last 35 cashable winners of the Kentucky Derby, including Mage last year. So the horses that fit this bill include Forever Young, Track Phantom at 12, who's way down the board if you're looking for really long odds. Honor Marie, who we've heard a ton about this week so far. Catching Freedom, another horse we've talked a lot about, especially with Edzo the other day. Catching Freedom was first in his Edzo trifecta. And another horse way down the board, Domestic Product, actually has the best numbers. An 11.8 second final furlong and 35 second final 3 furlongs in their last qualifying race. So if you go by that theory, there's 5 horses there to kind of dial in on. And Forever Young, who we keep talking about, is one of those horses amongst that handful, Joe.
For a long shot, my first reaction when we were talking about it yesterday or before was Grand Mo the First, you know, just because hitting the board, Tampa Derby, Florida Derby. The more people I talk to about Grand Mo, they're like, yeah, just not fast enough. Don't waste your money. Not going to be there. That's not the long shot. I bring Grand Mo up because when I asked Sean Zarillo earlier in the show about a long shot, he went right to Domestic Product. Mm-hmm. First thing that he mentioned. And it makes sense. And you have Chad Brown as the trainer, Irad Ortiz as the jockey, won the Tampa Derby. It kind of, when you line everything up, Domestic Product, some of those numbers that you mentioned, like, it's kind of surprising Domestic Product's a long shot at this point.
Hasn't been talked about more. Yeah, and I think, you know, the theory that Eddie brought up the other day when he was on was, hey, I need somebody who can catch fierceness or you know, run with fierceness and then maybe pull away late. If this is going to be, as Edzo put it the other day or theorized the other day, a fast race, it's going to be a quick pace. So you got to get out of the gates quick. It's why we eliminate maybe somebody who's in on the rail like Dornoch and doesn't have the speed to bust out ahead and then stay ahead from that one post. If it's going to be a quick pace, but we need people with closing speed at the end, we need the horses who are not going to just run fast, but close fast as well. That's where you start to take out some of the horses like, say, Catalytic, who ended up finishing 13 lengths back of Fierceness in the Florida Derby. It's where you take out a Grand Mo the First. It's where you take out maybe a Stronghold or even a Sierra Leone, who a lot of people have talked about, but is borderline on that 13:38 line for the final furlong and the final three furlongs in their last qualifying race.
Yeah.
Chris Felica, he was talking about domestic product and saying that he thinks he'll probably end up finishing third or fourth. I guess he has beat Fierceness in the Holy Bull he was writing about, but he doesn't think he'll win it all in the end.
But yeah, he's saying, though, that could really get you a nice ticket, making a trifecta with Fierceness. We get a 30-1. We'll see what it ends up going off at, but yeah, you add a 30-1 as
it's up to 31
as your show
now.
Horse.
I mean, so it's creeping up.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we do a show try?
Okay.
Who do you want to include? What would we include in a show try? Okay, Fierceness.
Are we boxing it or what?
I always box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forever Young.
No, though, I mean, that's my pick to win.
First
so
or second? Okay. Or do we just narrow it down to the three? Fierceness, Forever Young, and Domestic Product? Or do we want to...
My only issue with that is that all three horses are running from outside the 10 post. Which, you know, three horses that have speed to maybe get out early, set the pace, and then one or two of them end up pulling away late. I don't know if I like all three... it being double digits on the post. Although, as we pointed out, with everybody sliding in because of the scratch of Encino at 9, you know, it's not necessarily impossible to run a good race from, you know, where Forever Young is. Now, the 11 horse running from the 10 post, or even Fierceness running from the 16 is the 17 horse, Domestic Product in between the two of them. I don't know. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Okay.
Well, we like Forever Young. Why don't you throw one out, Chris?
So we decided Fierceness has to be in there too, because he's going to be the pace setter, right? We don't know if he'll close. Maybe he will. Maybe somebody catches him from behind, but Fierceness is the pace setter. So Forever Young and Fierceness. And then I can't take a horse that Edzo likes to win and not included in Catching Freedom from the 4 spot. It's kind of one of the first spots on the post that you don't have to worry about maybe getting caught up on the rail as you get out and try to sit with the pace. I don't know. That would be the one I would include probably, is Catching Freedom, plus the decent numbers in closing in the final furlong, the final three.
Yeah. If it is a sloppy track, and Zarilla brought this up, everybody's looking at this, the number will go way down. Mystic Dan has had a lot of success with those conditions. So the three, that's I think a lot of people are possibly taking a look at. Paul, did you have one that you want to throw out? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I think we got to throw a little bit of a bigger number in there if we're going to put those two, Forever Young and Fierceness in there. So my nominees would be Resilience, who we've talked about at 20 on the morning line, or Just a Touch could be an option at 10-1. That's the 8. Or if we want to play the weather, Mystic Dan.
Paul, Just the Touch.
Just a touch.
Let's
see if it's working.
Okay. So I don't think the prices, I mean, Catching Freedom probably won't be 8-1. We'll see.
But I can already tell with the buzz that Catching Freedom is getting that it's probably going to be shorter. But these are not awful numbers, Forever Young at 10-1. But yeah, you probably want to work in a longer shot.
Also, with like with a box, I mean, you got to pay a little bit more, but you can include more than three horses in a trifecta box.
Yeah, or like if you stick with a winner, and then it'll cost you less or a certain part of the order.
Right.
I think we should include the number three regardless just because of the weather factor.
Weather.
That means we also want to include Catching Freedom or Just the Touch.
Mystic Dude.
Yeah.
It is tough. It's
like, you Resilience get to... feels a little bit more like a super play, maybe.
Would you rather go Resilience or Domestic Product?
I like the closing speed on Domestic Product and the fact that Cirillo brought it up. A couple people, I think Aaron said Felica brought up Domestic Product as well. That might be.
Well, he did a breakdown of every horse in their post, but I was just scrolling down to that one to see what he said about it.
Good number. 30.
Yeah.
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 They're both pretty good. Yeah, you know, the Mystic, you know what? Mystic Dan. I like
Mystic
that
Dan
one.
For the weather. Fierceness because, well, Fierceness is the favorite. And let's go back to Forever Young because Pat Sosin and Hawk said we have to, right?
Yes.
Well, then the Joe.
And me too. Yeah, I like Forever Young. And we're including Catching Freedom in there. So you could do that. You could, however, which ways. Like you could. Whatever kind of exotics you want to do, whether it's exactas or tries, whatever.
All right, 3, super. 4, 11, and 17. Is that what we came down to? I think so.
Is that better?
Yeah.
15 is domestic product. Those are our five. 3, 4, 11, 15, 17. 15. Mix them up however you want.
There you go. Mix up the NFC West that still probably finishes with the Niners on top, right? A post-draft pre-schedule reset of that division next before we dive back into the NBA playoffs here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. It's BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, live coast-to-coast on the BetQL Network. We've got some interesting stuff cooked up for Nickel or Dime in honor of Aaron Hawksworth's final day on the show here. Live coast-to-coast on the BetQL Network, inside your Odyssey app, wherever you may be. You take us with you every single day, AUDACY, and get whatever you may have missed as a podcast on demand later by searching BetQL Daily. We just gave our Derby plays. I think we've got a 5-horse box for a trifecta. We'll firm that up before Lightning Bets, which will wrap up the show. And we got some great stuff from Sean Zerillo earlier, Eddie Olczyk the other day on the Derby as well. If you're looking to get some research into Derby plays before tomorrow, like I said, in the podcast. Thanks for joining us live if you've done so this morning. Coast to coast on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/BetQL, to watch the show on YouTube, Odyssey Sports Channel as well. Game 6 is tonight in the NBA. Chance for the Cavs to close out the Magic on the road and the Mavericks to finish off the Clippers in Dallas, plus some early looks at T-Wolves Nuggets game 1 tomorrow and Pacers Knicks game 1 on Monday. Maybe at least a quick look at the series. Jimmy Patsos already predicting an upset in that one. But a post-draft pre-schedule release look at the NFC West. We've done it division by division every day this week, and we come now at the end of the week to the NFC West, where the Niners went to the Super Bowl last year. And then they met the Chiefs, and that's what the Chiefs do. Patrick Mahomes shows up in the Super Bowl, and they beat whoever is put in front of them. The Niners win total set at 11.5. That's plus 105, so just about even money. Then you've got the Rams and the Seahawks. Actually, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals, all within 2 wins of each other on the win totals at the books. Rams, 8.5, minus 125 at BetMGM. Seahawks, 7.5, same juice, minus 125. And the Cardinals at 6.5 wins, minus 140. None of these teams with legitimate conference or Super Bowl odds aside from the Niners. Plus 240 to win the conference, 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. And they, of course, are the heavy favorites, Joe, to win the division at minus 210. They did have some losses on the defensive side of the ball, but I don't worry especially about the Niners bouncing back from that. They've got the right systems in place. Still a question about whether Samuels or Ayuk may be moved. It feels like that point in time has passed. And you're going to get mostly the same team back in San Francisco.
It feels like everybody else in the division got better. Right. And I know we do this with most teams where it's more difficult when optimism runs high to target the teams that got worse at this juncture. But it does feel like the Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals, while there is quite the gap, they all got a little bit better. Did San Francisco get a little bit worse? That's the big question. So they're keeping Ayuk? Is that official?
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, if they were going to do it, would they have done it before the draft or during the draft? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see the upside in getting rid of him at this point.
No.
Once you got through the first round, figured definitely Friday. I'm like, okay, so Ayuk stand. Yeah. That's how I took a look at it. Interesting that on the win total, it is juiced to the under. That is not what we typically see with San Francisco, a very buzzy team, a dominant team for much of last season. -125 on the under with a win total of 11.5. You mentioned more than $2 to win the division. Maybe a little up there, maybe a little bit, but I certainly understand why that's the price. How do you pick this team apart? That's my question. That's what I keep going back to. Like, what's the big issue? We've had the conversation a million times, everyone has, involving San Francisco. Purdy works because everything else around him is at times flawless, including the coaching, the play calling. That's why it works. But if you're still doubting him, I don't know why you would be at this point. As long as he can stay healthy, they're going to be in the mix and they're probably going to win the division. Doesn't mean I can't make a case for somebody else or some of these other teams going over their win total. But they're cut above everybody else right now.
Yeah, that was my initial thought. Like, The Niners are the favorites for a reason, and I probably wouldn't make a play. It would take, like, Trent Williams, who's going to be 36 in July, to be injured and missing most of the season, and things to just fall apart, and maybe a team like the Rams, you know, could step in there and win the division. But it's going to be tough. They just have so many weapons, and it would take a few key injuries to sort of derail the San Francisco team.
But Joe makes a good point here. It feels like the rest of the division has improved. I don't think that means they catch the Niners, but the Rams going 1-2-3 on defense in the draft. Seattle is moving in the right direction, I think. The Cardinals are what the Cardinals are as long as Kyler Murray's health is in question, which it feels like it's always going to be a question. But they're all right there, 7, 8, 9 win teams. Who, especially in the Rams and Seahawks case, I think, Joe, will be in the conversation for wild cards throughout the bulk of the season.
Yeah, it's, the Aaron Donald retirement, first off, is something that you have to mention. The heartbeat of that defense. How impactful is it going to be? We don't know. I mean, that dude was out there every single week, even to the bitter end. He was still making quite an impact. They take advantage for the first time since 2016 without having a first round pick. They just kind of hang out there, and one of the top defenders falls to them in Jared Verse on the defense. So they really tried to bolster it. I think the Corum draft pick was very interesting. I'm expecting him to play probably immediately. The win total 8.5, that is juiced a little bit to the over. That makes sense to me. This is at least a 9-win team, as far as I'm concerned. So I like what they did. The additions they made. Jonah Jackson, sneaky good pick for the line at guard. So that's pretty strong. Yeah, Trey White, when healthy. It's always a thing with Trey White. When healthy, he's a terrific addition to that secondary.
They even have Jimmy Garoppolo suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. But hey.
What?
Maybe Sean McVay can, we could get a little Jimmy G resurgence here with the Rams. So weird.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to play at some point, right? You would think. Like, Stafford is not a young man anymore. He's probably bound to miss a couple of games at some point. You don't need Jimmy G to do anything more than just manage things. But yeah, that's a, I'll say Fisk and Verse up front, big moves in the draft. Like I said, going 1, 2, 3 in the draft, Cameron Kitchens, who they got to play safety as well in the third round, all quality additions. They're right there. They're plus 110. The number tells you they're just about expected to be one of those final wild card teams. Seattle, here's the thing. I like Geno. Geno can be really good sometimes. Geno can also be exceedingly mid at times. Sam Howell's the backup. It's not like you can pull the plug on Geno if he goes south for a couple of weeks. You can turn things over to Sam Howell, really? They didn't get any younger either, really, on either side of the ball. That secondary, they've got their soft spots. I could see Seattle being more like a 7 or 8 win team that misses the playoffs. And that's kind of how they're priced, plus 180 to make the playoffs, 7.5 wins. Then, you know, almost, I want to say flip flopping with the Rams a little bit. The Rams struggled most of last season and then came in at the very end. It felt like that Seattle was destined for that playoff spot. I think it's gonna flip somewhat, and Seattle's going to be just outside that picture most of the year, unless Geno can have another fountain of youth year.
Byron Murphy's getting a lot of steam to the Bears at 9. And for him to fall to 16, some people thought he was the best defender in the draft.
Yeah.
So interesting, Aaron. Like a lot of these NFC West teams, early in the draft, they decided to go defense.
Yeah, I mean, no Pete Carroll, a whole new coaching regime. It's hard to expect the Seahawks to just have this amazing season in year one, right? So I would think they get off to a slower start, but wouldn't be surprised if things start to, you know, gel towards the end of the season. But I don't expect much out of the Seahawks this year.
You know, what's interesting, Joe, you mentioned most of the teams in this division focusing on defense, or at least the 3 second tier teams, especially focusing on defense in the draft. And you're right. Arizona did that as well. They get Darius Robinson. They get Max Melton, Elijah Jones. It's the coaching staffs in the NFC West have long been about, hey, let's find some different ways to do things on offense. We're going to see what we can do to innovate, put some points up on the board. And again, we're coming back to that storyline of his defense catching up finally to the schemes around the league. And they're going out and getting the talent to counteract these offenses within these defensive schemes. I'll be curious to see if that's where maybe the Rams and the Seahawks and even the Cardinals to an extent start to push back on the Niners by saying, well, no, we're going to go out and get the athletes that can actually that can actually counteract your offense.
And the Seahawks bring in Mike McDonald. I think that was a good hire. However, as a rookie head coach, I don't care what organization you're coming from, it is quite the challenge to beat both Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. That's what you're asking him to do. Not only do those teams have more talent right now, but now you've got to out-scheme those guys. That's going to be difficult. And that's probably going to take a bit of a learning curve. Like sometimes we see, you know, on a regular basis, there's always a rookie coach or two that comes onto the scene and people are like, whoa, look at this. Huge jump in wins just in that 1 year. And a lot in part because of the new coaching staff. That's difficult to do in this division.
Yeah, it feels like this is the Niners. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams are in the conversation if things do kind of, if the Niners are regressing or, you know, hit by the injury bug like we've seen in the past, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams do win the division.
I don't understand this Cardinals win total thing. 6.5, okay, but it's juiced minus 140 to the over?
Yeah.
Really? They're that much of a lock for 7 win? Please.
Marvin, baby. Let's go.
Maserati.
Maserati Marv. We're also looking at maybe the Cardinals having to make a decision on Kyler in the next year or two, and when they can start to finally get out from underneath a contract they probably already regret. And NBA playoff game 6 is tonight in Orlando and Dallas, plus looking ahead to game 1s in the second round. Coming up next right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.